What is up, you guys? This is going to be episode number 7 of the Big Bait Saga's Big Bait Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be discussing developing a milk run. But before we get into that, I really want to give a huge thank you to you guys that have been supporting. The feedback means a lot to me. I appreciate everybody that listens, everybody that's been sharing it to their friends, everybody that's been posting a link to people. Really appreciate it. Today, I actually was not going to film an episode for the morning because I work a lot earlier in the day than I do normally, which is unfortunate, but I'm sick and tired of having excuses. And I was legitimately upset when I went in and just realized I wasn't going to film an episode. I was getting legitimately mad at myself. So I had to come in here and film an episode. Excuses are far popular than hustle, so had to get over that. But anyways, just understand that this episode might not be as long, but I'll still be able to get my full point across. There won't be viewer questions at the end of this one. Hopefully I'll do another episode tonight. Keep a lookout for that. If I don't, I will be for sure planning this a little bit further ahead in the future for next time. Anyways, guys, let's get into the episode. I want to talk to you guys about how I develop a milk run, what a milk run means to me, and why I believe a milk run does work, but it's not always a guarantee. So, what I initially do to develop a milk run is I pick a lake that I want to develop that milk run on, and I am the type of fisherman that I will stay on a particular lake for years and years. And I do fish other places, but I typically will not study them and research into them as heavily as I would on a lake that I really want to get good at. But although you can still develop a milk run in a matter of days or even a week or two, sorry for that notification, I really need to silence my phone next time. But although you can develop a milk run in a matter of days or even a couple weeks, just understand that that milk run is only a momentarily established milk run. On a lake that you've been doing it for years, what you can do is you can develop seasonal milk runs. You can figure out each season where the fish will be. You can even get it to as good as you know where they're at each month, or in a general idea of what they'll be doing, where they'll be at, what type of structure they'll be holding to, stuff like that. On a week, on a milk run that you've established in a matter of days or even in a matter of weeks, you won't be able to do that. All you'll know is where they're biting at that specific point in time. So, like I said in some of my previous episodes, if I am going to be trying to come up with a milk run, I will keep the bait selection even simpler than I do when I'm just going out there and I already know what I'm doing. I will only take a few baits, a bait for top, a bait for middle, and sometimes a bait for bottom, but usually I'm not really too big of a bottom fisherman. I know I'm missing out on a lot there, but what I would typically take is like a wake bait, a good wake bait. It doesn't matter what wake bait, just pick a wake bait. I will take a middle water swimmer, like either a triple trout or a Huddleston, and I'll also take a glide bait. And the glide bait that I typically like to fish with is like an extra slow sinking glide bait. Why? Because I can always add a lead tape to that on the fly and adjust if I need to go deeper or shallower. I really, really like neutrally buoyant glide baits, which means they don't really sink and they don't really float. They kind of just suspend. And those are the baits that I would take when I'm going somewhere trying to develop a milk run. So what I would do if I first showed up to a place and I want to figure out where they're biting and I know I'm going to be studying this place for a matter of years and not days, is I will take a couple months and just fish every inch of the shoreline. I will, like I said in previous episodes about bank fishing, I will analyze the bank, figure out what type of structure the bottom is made up of, like rocks, boulders, timber, bushes, anything that might be underwater. I will take that into consideration. I'll look for bank transition lines. And I'll just keep that in mind when I'm fishing, because when I do get bit, I will immediately look around, see what the bottom contour is made out of, see if it was on a ridge or on a point, or if there was a drop off there, or if there was a change in the bottom, like gravel to clay or dirt to sand, whatever it might be. I'll keep that noted down for future reference, and I will keep on fishing. And one fish does not establish that that is a great spot and that that will always be a reliable spot. I find that you need multiple fish on multiple days to be able to really decide, hey, this is a key spot for me. This spot usually pays off, and this spot is what works out. And once you do start developing a little bit of that structure about which spots produce best for you, when I show up to that lake the next time, and this is like after a couple months of doing that, when I show up to that lake, I'll start only going to those spots that have produced for me, especially the ones that have produced the most for me or the bigger bites for me. I'll only start fishing those areas. And now when I fish those areas, I'll know for a fact, hey, this spot has produced for me. The fish are usually here. They're usually biting off of this cast angle. The reason they're here is because X, Y, and Z. All that information you should have been able to gather by then. And then what you can start doing is breaking down where the big fish spots are on your milk run. So for example, you might have 5 or 10 spots that you've developed, but maybe only 3 or 4 of them are actual areas that could possibly be big fish zones. And by that, I mean areas that have shallow water next to deep water. They have big key features of structure. They have bait fish there. They are on a perfectly wind-blown area that always gets wind at this particular time of the day. Stuff like that is what I would pay attention to find which areas are the big fish zones, because you might have a lot of areas in your milk run that do get bit well, but they're not really quality fish. And you notice, hey, maybe there's not as much bait fish here. Maybe it doesn't get as much wind. Maybe it doesn't have that much access to deeper water. Maybe there's no cover or structure in this area as much as there is in another area. And just those are the places that you now want to consider your secondary spots that you hit on your milk run. So your primary spots that you'll hit on your milk run are those big fish zones. The secondary spots are those non-big fish zones, but they still produce. So you might want to keep those in mind maybe when those big fish zones aren't producing. Especially now that you have this all developed, keep in mind that this will now change seasonally. So what you've been figuring out for the past 3 months might have been during the summer or whatever month it might have been in. And now you notice it's transitioning into fall, and now they're in a completely different area. You have to repeat that whole process for every season. That's just how I do it. I don't know how everybody else does it, but this is the way that I do it and what's worked for me. So I'll repeat that process for the other seasons, and I'll develop another milk run for that season, and just keep going on and on and on. And until I have a decent milk run for each season, and that's just the way that I figured out. However, a lot of these reservoirs, they do rise and lower in water a lot here in Southern California. I don't know about in other parts of the country, but what that means is now all your spots that you used to know are now either above or below water by a substantial amount. And that's when you typically need to figure out new areas. But that's just the challenge of the game. And this is particularly talking about lake systems, not river systems or delta systems, because delta systems and river systems fluctuate in depth and current, and they're always changing, high tide, low tide, all that stuff. So this is only going to really apply to lakes. I'm not going to pretend like I know how to break down a delta or a river, so I'm not even going to touch on that. But I would assume that you could do a lot of the same things. You're just going to have to adjust your milk runs. You're probably going to have to find one for low tide, find one for high tide. And that's just me speaking out of the top of my head. I don't even know anything about that. But getting back to the lake milk runs, you got to understand that fish will not always be where you think they are. So sometimes when your milk run's not working out for you, you might have to try to instead of just calling it quits, you might have to find a new area. And that's just because maybe the bait's not there anymore, or it's a different time of the year, and you just got to always be adapting. Don't think that when you hear the term milk run, that it's an established place that'll work every single time, because it's not. Fish still change all the time, and nobody has really figured everything out yet, so just keep that in mind. Anyways, I know this has been a shorter episode, but I just really wanted to get an episode out today. It was grinding on my mind about, I was just disappointed for not getting one out, so hopefully this helps somebody. Hopefully if you like it, you can share it with your friends, let them know about it, and hopefully I'll catch you guys next time. Later.